Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. You can go to the websites, JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. JackieCation.com has DorkForest.com. It has the audio links. It has the video links to my YouTube. It has all of my dates for stand-up comedy. It has all the merch. It's got Dork Forest merch and stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs if you have those devices. Other things you can do, Bandcamp. There's a Bandcamp with the very old episodes. Some of them are free. And then there's a storytelling album that you can get on my Bandcamp. And I'm on Pandora and Spotify. It is 2025, and feel free to start donating to the Dork Forest. Yeah, cost me about 10 grand a year to put this up. If everybody donated $100 every year, if everybody just handed me $100 every time they saw me, or PayPal, Venmo, then I would have, I think, about 10 grand. I don't know, but I would have enough money to run this and probably buy myself lunch. And I'm a big fan of doing the show. I'll do it anyway. But if you have $100, send me $100. If you have $2, send me $2. You can do it monthly on PayPal. There's buttons all over my website. And my Venmo is just my name. No hyphen, Jackie Cation. I'm wearing a red shirt. Let's get into the show. It's me, Jackie Cation. I'm back in my house, and it's an episode of the Dork Forest. With me, devout ranger and turns out Daredevil fan, Jonathan Anderson. Welcome to the show, Jonathan Anderson.
Jackie, thank you so much for having me.
It's so funny because you were like, do you have someone who's going to be talking about this? And I said, I do not. So, and I, here's my thing. I have not got to see the TV show, but I have been reading Daredevil for about 20 years. So it's okay. I think it'll be okay.
So you haven't seen any of the show or just since it came back after its long absence, like
just since
episodes.
It came back, just oh, the okay. new episodes. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, and I only saw the first I only saw it once. You know, a lot
yeah,
of times.
It was a pretty intense show. Like I can see how that wouldn't
terrifying.
Be. Yeah. No, totally.
That guy is nailing it.
I can see how that would not be everybody's preferred flavor of the character.
It's super tense. There's a lot of tension every time Mr. Fisk, Mayor Fisk, I understand that that much I do understand. So do you read the Daredevils?
I have. I read comics via library trades, so I'm always a little bit behind, but Daredevil is one of the ones, like, as soon as that comes in, I grab that before anything else. So,
Did you go back in time? Like, have you read the Bendis ones or the Brubaker ones?
Strangely, I haven't had a whole lot of luck getting a hold of the Bendis Brubaker stuff. That is an unfortunate gap, but whatever the libraries have, I will get a hold of. So,
well, the Zdarsky one right now is the one we're reading, and it's pretty great, quite honestly.
Zdarsky was great. Yeah, it's actually now it's gone over. Now, Saladin Ahmed is writing it.
That's right. Wait, that's how far I am. And we do get it. It is on our pull list.
Well, and so, it's fairly recent. He hasn't been on the book that long overall, okay. I think. So you're close.
Yeah. It's and then Mark Waid. Did you get to read the Mark Waid arc?
Yeah, that was where I came in initially as a regular reader.
Right. Sent him to San Francisco. He fought the Purple Man. Those two kids were invented.
His identity was a known right. quantity. Everybody knew. That's when it's become a meme now, but Mark Waid did the I'm not Daredevil sweater.
He's at some Christmas party.
It's right before he gives up and just accepts that everybody knows who he is now. And he's like covered in tinsel and got lights wrapped around him, and his sweater just says, hi, I'm not Daredevil.
Oh my God. That is clearly Andy Ashcraft's next Christmas sweater.
It would be a good one.
That's a good one. Why isn't that a thing? Why is there barking? Should be. All right. Calm down.
Yeah, Blade was kind of the last one to be on that lighter end of the spectrum. We've gone back to the grim and gritty and remained there since then, but his was a nice kind of breath of fresh air moment.
You know, did you see the She-Hulk with Daredevil?
Yes.
I mean, that's the Daredevil, quite honestly. I would like to see more of that Daredevil.
Yeah, Daredevil doing the Walk of Shame was a pretty great image.
That was an amazing, I mean, and the fact that there's no new She-Hulk is, of course, a crime against society.
It is. I wish there was more, yeah. They just kind of seem to be throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks. So
right, and the guy who actually doesn't like women is back at the helm. So yeah. there's trouble there, but
there is actually there's an episode. There's a brief cameo in the new run of Daredevil episodes from Kamala Khan's dad.
Oh,
and it was delightful, but it was also a moment of, where is she right now? What could she be doing to further the cause here?
Right. Hell's Kitchen. And you always wonder, Daredevil never helps Spider-Man north of 52nd Street. Is that what I'm hearing? And Spider-Man just doesn't. He's not.
Well, and that came up during the press tour, because everybody asked, you know, are you guys going to be in the next Avengers movie? And Vincent D'Onofrio was very honest and said straight up, I can't. Kingpin's a Spider-Man character. So Sony owns Kingpin. He can't be back on the big screen, which sucks, but.
That does. And that's interesting that they have not yet loosened that up.
Yeah, they can use Spider-Man, but they can't use his villains, I guess, which is why Sony does all of those weird, like Morbius got a movie, Kraven got a movie, all of these characters around Spider-Man got a movie.
Please don't bring up Morbius. I don't know if you know this about him, but there was some sort of, he had some sort of bat radar. It's called sonar, and I'm going to bury you alive. Anyway, so.
Yeah, I didn't bother. I haven't bothered with any of those. I watched Venom somewhat. Against my will, but that was the only one. I've watched
on the back of the chair on an airplane. I've seen both two of the three Venoms.
And you know what? That would be a great way to see it.
Yes. Right. Cause they're not bad. They're fine, but they're not great.
You get the big picture stuff, but you don't get enough of the details to be going, why am I paying attention this deep? You know, it's so good. An airplane would be a great way actually to do that.
Yes. Did you watch, two questions before we get deep into it. Did you see Hawkeye and Will and Fisk?
Yes.
And then did you watch Echo?
I did. When I went back, I rewatched all of the Netflix Daredevil and then his She-Hulk appearances before the new episode started. I didn't go as far as to watch Hawkeye and Echo again, but I saw them when they first came out.
I watch Hawkeye is currently in the Christmas rotation because it can be a Christmas movie now.
I've heard you mention that. I might have to do it that way.
It's just only nine. I think it's only nine episodes, so it's like three movies. So it's not that bad.
It's been long enough. I think that Gremlins has been my Christmas thing. I may be due for a switcheroo, so I may have to consider the Hawkeye thing.
Right, and you can include, I mean, Gremlins, that's just one two-hour movie.
Exactly.
So there's at least 12 days of Christmas. So, yes. And you know, I have not watched Echo. That is something I have not seen. How was Echo?
It was pretty good.
That's good.
Daredevil himself pops up at the first episode. Basically, she sees him fight, and they kind of have a moment, and then he goes away. And then Kingpin plays the bigger role.
Okay. So, and now we're back. Daredevil, born again.
Yes. They took the title. It is not an exact adaptation of the Born Again arc, but everybody I think was waiting for them to use that name. So,
right, because the show was Born Again essentially.
Yes,
and they're like, we're just going to go with it. Who wrote that arc? Do you remember?
That was Frank Miller.
Oh,
that was in
okay.
that 80s heyday when he was doing everything.
Got it. Did they use any of that? I never read any of that.
So most of his Born Again was adapted. It was essentially the third season of the show.
Okay.
So
it's already been covered. Yeah.
Yeah. That material's mostly already been covered.
Okay.
The new stuff is kind of there's mixtures, like Kirsten McDuffie from Wade and Charles Soule's arc is in there. There's a character that honestly, until I was kind of brushing up on my knowledge for this, I didn't even realize was from the comics and is. So there's elements of a few different takes on the character in this current version.
Okay.
But most of the actual Born Again, and Born Again's not that long. I think it's maybe less than six issues, but it's like a mini arc. So there's not a whole lot of material to begin with.
Right. To cannibalize.
Yeah.
So fair enough. So, okay. So we come in, how does it start? This, by the way, going to be super spoilery. I don't care. I'm going to watch it anyway. I'm already predisposed to like it. So
awesome.
So let's hear it.
Yeah, because my thoughts on the newer stuff are still kind of so well. And we're recording this a couple days before the last episode actually airs. So we get right to do some fun speculation. But so my thoughts are still kind of scrambled. So it's awesome that I don't have to tiptoe. We'll just talk. Yeah,
great.
So this new version of the show opens with the shocking death of one Foggy Nelson.
Wow.
Yeah.
In the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. The first scene is a fight between Daredevil and Bullseye that ends with Foggy being killed.
Oh,
yeah. Wait.
So Bullseye's back. Yeah. You can't kill Bullseye's
back. Yeah. Bullseye has nearly killed himself in the fight. And then in the last episode comes back. The last episode to air before we record it comes back more fully. Okay.
Oh, second to last episode.
Yeah.
Of this season, this new.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So basically, this new season has been gestating for quite a while, and for a long time, it was going to be a version without the characters of Foggy and Karen Page.
Okay.
Which was upsetting to me and to, I think, a lot of fans to the point that
yes,
the outcry was enough. Well, and it got retooled as well. I don't know if it was a rumor or actual truth, but I had been told at one point that it was going to be that Matt was left behind during the blip. Like, oh. I heard described this great scene where he could hear all these heartbeats suddenly stop.
Oh.
And I wanted to see that image. But yeah, that didn't end up being the show, the shocking event that kind of got him out of the costume. Because I assume at that point he would have left the costume. He would have been so shattered by the right blip that he would have left Daredevil behind and had to come back.
A classic.
Yeah.
He loves to leave Daredevil behind.
Well, yeah. He's endlessly tormented.
It's so unfortunate, quite honestly.
Yeah, and so Catholic.
Like enormously like a caricature of some Catholicism going on there.
But in this one, the shocking event is he's out with Foggy and Karen on a normal night. Bullseye comes in, tears up the place, and it's kind of like, sorry guys, I gotta go be a superhero again, and it seems like it's just gonna be another night, except at the end he kills Foggy and breaks Matt pretty completely.
Oh, so Bullseye kills Foggy. Because whenever Bullseye kills somebody, it's always either Foggy. Because Foggy, just so everyone knows, Foggy's been killed before.
Yes.
Foggy comes back. He's not a superhero. He doesn't have any powers. But people bring Foggy back because there's no reason not to. Yeah.
Foggy at this point in the comics is a pretty broken individual.
Yeah.
he hears that Matt is up to his superhero shenanigans, and it's just kind of, you can almost see like tears starting to form in his eyes, like, oh, I can't believe we're still doing this.
Right. So, I was just your college roommate. Why are we doing this?
Of all the people in all the gin joints in all the world. So, yeah. So, and then we flash forward to a year later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Matt's given up, like, that night was the last night that he was in the Daredevil suit.
Okay.
Karen appears very briefly, but has moved on. I think she's actually gone to San Francisco, trying to start over, trying to get some distance.
Why do I not know?
Karen Page is there. So, like, it's Foggy and Nelson. They're legal partners, we should say. In his civilian life, Daredevil is Matt Murdock, who is a lawyer.
Right. Okay, that's right.
And his legal partner, his law school.
Yeah.
His law school roommate and best friend, Foggy Nelson, they form Nelson and Murdock Partners.
Right.
And Karen Page, in the first episode of this show, Karen Page is working for a different company and ends up embroiled in a conspiracy. And in exchange for them saving her, essentially, she comes to work for them just out of the goodness of her heart.
Okay. Because
they emphasize many times that Nelson and Murdock makes no money. These are the good guys that... Yeah.
They're constantly supporting people who have no cash.
Yes.
So
they're doing the right thing at the cost of their own living.
Right.
In the comics, it's a little more complicated. Karen Page is actually one of the only characters, to my memory, in Marvel history who died and has stayed dead. She's actually been dead since the late 90s.
See? Here we go. This is why I feel vindicated. I am Vindaloo because I started reading Daredevil in 2003.
So yep, I was so you like, would have just missed her.
I just missed her. She's dead. Okay. So
she's and interestingly, just, yeah. She was killed in an arc written by Kevin Smith, who is Silent Bob of Jay and Silent Bob.
Of Kevin Smith fame.
Yes. In his brief comics writing period, which I don't think lasted too much longer after that, he wrote an actually really great. I've read his Batman arc and didn't really care for it, but his Daredevil was actually really good. But he's the one who actually ended up killing Karen Page.
You know, I forget what writer, it might be Dan Slott, but some comic book writer said, you do whatever you want during your arc because you've taken all the toys out of the toy box, but put them back.
Yeah.
So that the next person has all of the toys to play with again. And there are some writers who love to kill. I think like Bendis killed Captain America for the first time. Like people love to kill somebody huge, you know?
Yeah. And then leave the title. That's usually the jumping off point. It's like, yes. Dead, gone.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually,
I think Karen Page was that big of a character, but maybe she was. I don't
know. Well, no, but Daredevil's relationships are very important to him and unfortunately have a alarming tendency to end up tragically. Because we all know, I think Spider if you know of the character dies. Of Daredevil, you know Elektra died.
Yes, Elektra dies.
Karen died.
Yeah, so Karen died. And then whoever he falls in love with, and Elektra, of course, is a bad guy who is also not a bad guy. Right?
Yeah, she's an anti-hero for sure.
Which is so sad because I have recently decided that I'm not in favor of anti-heroes. I'm like, I don't mind a flawed hero. And Daredevil is probably the most flawed.
Among them, certainly.
But, right. Just mostly, but his main flaw is that he beats himself up too hard.
Exactly. Yeah, he is his own biggest problem for sure.
Right. The Zdarsky arc that just ended had everybody stood up to be Daredevil. And then Elektra took on the costume of Daredevil. And
yeah, so he had just, he's back. Yeah. He went to prison, right? That must be where you're about where you're at.
Yeah, well, no, he's out of prison now.
But, he's out of prison. Okay.
Yeah. And, but yes, I am slightly behind, but I like when everybody stood up and was like, no, I'm Spartacus. And then they put on like just t-shirts that said Daredevil and went out and tried to help people.
It's a really nice moment when they do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool. So Karen Page, just another lawyer who was actually killed in the 90s, but they brought her back for the TV show.
Yeah. Her occupation was it was more complicated in the comics. I guess I didn't know until I was kind of brushing up on my history, but she was there at the very beginning. Like when the character was conceived in the 60s, she was already there,
okay.
Which I couldn't have told you, but she disappears. She finds out Daredevil's identity. She can't bear the burden of knowing it. And so she moves on and she's gone for quite a while. She actually comes back in during Born Again and is a heroin addicted porn actress now.
Ooh.
Because Frank Miller loved to be as gritty as possible.
Oh, right. He was gritty. That's what he's known for, the grit.
Yeah. And she sold Matt out. She sold his identity to the Kingpin, which is how he got it originally in exchange for drugs. So.
Right, right. It's always just, hey, kids, don't do drugs because you end up selling yourself out for just a 10 spot worth of drugs when you could have held out for something more.
Yeah, for any number of reasons, but particularly the integrity of it. Don't do drugs.
Yes. And so she's there. The first episode of the first two episodes, was it a split episode, the first episode?
Of this new season?
Yeah.
No. So by the end of the first episode, there's already like a there's already kind of a new status quo established. So the year later coincides with the sentencing of Bullseye, who Daredevil threw off the roof but did not die. You would have been forgiven for thinking he did, but right. He did not. So it coincides with his sentencing. Karen says she can't come back, like she's not at peace or whatever.
Right.
And so then we start the new version of the character, essentially, which I still remain split on. Like, I missed those old characters, but I understand sometimes you have to do new things. It's
right. You're just trying to make it more exciting, and it's fine.
I think it only felt like a bait and switch because people lobbied so hard to get those characters back, and then we got them back and they were gone within the span of the first hour.
Oh, yeah, that is a little bitter.
Yeah.
That's a little bittersweet. You're like, oh, we want it. Oh, and now they're gone. So you're pandering, and that is vaguely irritating. All right.
Yeah, I think it'll settle better in my memory, but at the moment it still feels a little bit raw.
Yeah, fair enough.
Supposedly, I think I saw that they have signed deals, both her and the actor who plays Foggy, who I think his name is Eldon Henson, he was in the Mighty Ducks. Both of them have signed deals to appear in season two. There is already a second season filming as we speak.
Okay. Oh, okay. So it's a hit.
Yeah, the popularity, I guess, was evident really fast. And now, of course, people want them to bring back all of the Netflix defenders, that version of Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist. That's kind of the next thing everybody's clamoring
for. Did you just say
for.
Iron Fist? Stop talking.
I know. It's...
That poor guy. Them,
he would be the one we could lose.
Right. I don't necessarily. That was just bad casting. That doesn't mean that actor isn't good at other things. It just means Iron Fist may not be for him.
Yeah, no. And the more I learn about that era of the Netflix Marvel regime, it's just, yeah. I think the problem was Jeff Loeb ultimately. But of course, none of us can know for sure.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. I didn't know he was the one. So Karen and Foggy are gone. It's
yes.
A year later. Wait, but Karen comes back for the...
She comes back for the sentencing. She comes back just basically to sit in the courtroom and to see Matt one more time. I'm sure she probably was hoping that there would be something would feel different.
But,
sure. But it was clear he's not in the place where she wants him to be. So now he's working. Now it's Murdoch and McDuffie. Some variation on it. So the Kirsten character is his legal partner now.
Okay.
There's a character who we meet in that first scene named Cherry, who was an NYPD cop. I think in that first scene, it's like his retirement. Like, I think that's why they're all gathered at the bar.
Okay.
So now he's off the force and is employed by Murdoch and McDuffie as an investigator. And he knows.
And Cherry is a man?
Yes.
Okay.
And Cherry is all they call him. I don't know, first name, last name.
Right.
But so Cherry. He actually followed them up to the roof, followed Daredevil and Bullseye up to the roof. And he got up there just in time for Matt to rip his helmet off in despair. So he knows that Matt was Daredevil.
Right.
And so, and they just, they don't talk about it at that early on in the run. It's just kind of this unspoken thing. Like, hey, it's that problem in your past or whatever. They won't even say the name.
Right, and Matt Murdock is done being Daredevil in this opening scene at the court with Bullseye?
Correct.
Okay.
There is, when he throws his helmet off at the end, a horn chips off of it, and Karen gives him that little horn, like it's like a keepsake, so he's got it in his pocket, he fiddles with it occasionally. Okay. It's like his conscience, basically, like when he feels the urge coming up, he kind of starts fiddling with the horn.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. And
the Murdoch McDuffie office is all high tech. It's very like glassed off conference rooms. It's the total opposite of Nelson and
the
Murdoch.
Foggy. Okay. Yeah.
So ostensibly he's sold out or whatever.
Right. Couldn't wait.
Yeah. And Kirsten sets him up with who's become his love interest for the season, which is a woman named Heather.
Okay.
Who I didn't realize was actually, this is the character I didn't realize actually had comics history.
Okay.
When Karen left the first time in the comics, we then, and I didn't realize they'd done it this early. When Karen left was the first time Matt went to San Francisco in the comics.
Oh.
And that was when he started hooking up with the Black Widow, who he's had an on again off again relationship with. It's been off again for a very long time.
With, but not, not Natasha.
No, it was Natasha.
Oh.
In fact, for a while, it only lasted about 10 issues, I guess, but for a while, the book was called Daredevil and the Black Widow.
And that was in the 60s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know any of that. I've never found any of those issues in collections here. I'd be curious to read them now. But.
And who's Heather?
So when he breaks up with the Black Widow, Heather is the next one in line because there always has to be a woman in Matt's life.
Right, right. He's working
he
the room.
He can't be single for longer than 5 minutes. It's one of his flaws. In the comics, it sounds like she's more kind of a socialite, like her dad comes from money.
Okay.
And unfortunately, she finds out his identity, is tortured by it, falls into alcoholism, and ends up dying.
Frank Miller?
No, not Frank Miller yet. I think it's probably good.
It makes me worry for Frank Miller's upbringing.
Yeah, Frank, I think, would have maybe made the death hurt a little bit more. But it's just when I read the end of that Wikipedia entry, I was like, of course, that's what happened. It's
Heather. But so she's in this season.
Yeah.
As his love interest.
And in the season, she's a therapist.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. A therapist with an obsession about vigilantes, about Caped Crusaders.
Okay.
And a therapist whose clientele by the end of, I think, the second episode happens to include Wilson and Vanessa Fisk.
She's a marriage.
Apparently. So, yeah, she seems to be
Fisk,
a therapist.
I knew Fisk was back. So Fisk is back with his wife.
Yes. Who, so ostensibly, yeah. He's been, I forget, I wish I had watched Echo again because I forget where we left him, but it's like when he's reintroduced in this season, it seems like he's not back from the dead, but he's back from some sort of self-imposed exile.
Well, remember at the end of Hawkeye, Echo shoots him.
Yes. And then in the Echo show, he has an eye patch on, like he's got a contraption over the eye that she shot.
Okay.
But
has it healed?
It has healed. Yes, he has Thank use goodness. Of both eyes again. Yes.
Yes. Because that actor doesn't need that. So
it was a fairly unwieldy eye patch from what I recall. But so he's returning. Vanessa Fisk has been running the Empire, essentially the criminal end of things.
Oh, wow.
And I think Wilson just hasn't been involved with any of it. Like he's been around, but I get the impression it's like he wanders by in the bathrobe while she's holding meetings. And it's just like, hey, I was just on my way to the kitchen. Ignore me.
And Vanessa, who if you remember, Into the Spider-Verse, didn't know about his business.
Yes.
So it's
actually
out-
also, there is a brief Daredevil cameo in Spider-Verse, which I don't think most people know about, in the train at the end when he's seeing various versions of Vanessa and his son.
Yeah.
There is a version where it flashes by and it's Vanessa and a very young redheaded child with glasses.
Ah.
So there is a version in the multiverse where Matt Murdock is actually Matt Fisk.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not a corner we probably want to spend much time in.
No, I'm good. We don't need to go. We don't need to play that out in a what if. Okay. So Vanessa's running the works. Wilson comes back. And
yes.
He doesn't care, essentially.
He he seems pretty much checked out at this point, but he decides that what he wants to do is run for mayor.
Which he has been. In the comics.
Yes, he has been, and actually now is no longer. He's out of the office again, and actually Luke Cage is now mayor.
The mayor. Yes.
Which, if you had to elect a mayor out of that bunch, I honestly think Luke is probably about as good an option as you would have had. So.
Oh, yeah. He seems very responsible.
Yeah.
Yes. But he's going to run for mayor. That's the abuse of power. Yes.
Yeah. It's a very parallel story. Like it's almost as much Kingpin/Wilson Fisk's as Matt/Daredevil's.
Like, okay.
It's very much, there's a reason every press appearance has been the two of them together because it's very much a joint show at this point now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, it was for most of the Netflix run too. Like there was it started out with them, got into the Elektra hand business for the second season, and then the Defenders, and then came back to Kingpin at the end. So it's always kind of been that, but it's more pronounced now.
Okay, yeah, and they've just acknowledged it. So
yeah.
So does Wilson Fisk? Is he pretending that he's going to be a good mayor? That he's not going to.
I don't even think it's so much pretending. I think honestly, the character thinks he's going to be different now.
Okay.
It's very evident, very fast, that he cannot escape his old self. But I feel like he genuinely is giving it a go.
Okay.
When he starts out.
Okay.
And obviously, everybody is up in arms. Like the police department is talking about resigning en masse as soon as he's introduced. It's not a long, like he announces in the first episode, but like by the end of the second, he's mayor already. There's almost no time spent on the election part of it.
Okay. Wow. They're moving right. I mean, in the first 10 minutes, Foggy's dead. In the first episode, Bullseye's maybe dead and introduced into the plot. And then the second episode, Bullseye's being sentenced. Does he escape or does he supposedly go to jail?
At the end. So he is in jail. And then in the penultimate episode of the season, which aired last week, he finally gets out.
Right. Because why wouldn't he? You can't introduce Bullseye into the plot.
He pulls a classic move from the comics where it's something he pops out a tooth and uses it like he spits it as his weapon to begin his breaking out because everything to Bullseye is a weapon.
Everything's a weapon. It doesn't matter. Don't give him a pen.
No pens. There's in the movie, which I think most people want to forget, there's a very CGI shot where he uses a paper clip to kill a fly. Like you can't hand him anything. He has to be bound at all times. And even then it's a crapshoot. So,
right. Because how did you bind him? Did you use items to bind him? Because
exactly.
He will somehow turn a thread that you have done into a lightsaber. Anyway. Yes.
The distinction between him and Hawkeye Hawkeye has the accuracy of a Bullseye. It has more of the inventiveness. Like,
oh,
Hawkeye doesn't have the everything as a weapon kind of thing going for him.
Right, right. Though I will say he did show Kate Bishop how to use a dime to turn off the lights or something like that. And it turns out she's got a good eye as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why they're both Hawkeye. So, and Pizza Dog and those bros, man. Anyway, so. That was Matt Fraction, I think, and that was a great run.
It was a great run, yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Super fun. Okay, so Bullseye, it goes to jail. What happens? How many episodes are in this season?
There are 9. And
are they hours? 1 hour?
Yes.
Okay.
And you spoke to how fast they seem to be going through things. I believe what I was told, the original pitch for the show before they retooled it was going to be 18 episodes.
Oh.
And one of the complaints, again, rumored, is that the original pitch took him too long to get him back into the suit.
Okay.
In this version, he doesn't get back into the suit, I think, until end of episode 6 or episode 7.
Oh, God. So what's happening like 3, 4, 5?
So part of it is he meets up with a character. He gets involved with a character as on the legal end that I'm not super familiar with named the White Tiger.
Okay. I've heard of the White Tiger. I possibly from Marvel Puzzle Quest, but
my knowledge of him only comes from the fact that there is a White Tiger card in Marvel Snap. So.
Exactly. Hey, everybody, I'm talking to Jonathan Anderson. We play a little Marvel-related phone games, and we're talking Daredevil. By the way, I didn't tell everybody, your Instagram is Jake Spear, Jake Spear, 88. So like Shakespeare, but Jake Spear. So Jonathan Anderson. Just to let people know who I'm talking
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Right. There you go. It'll be in the notes. So, okay. White Tiger.
Yes. So, and I feel bad because I'm blanking on the name of his civilian identity, but
Hector
they're
something. right?
We are introduced to him. He is on a subway platform and comes across two what we discovered to be corrupt cops beating up an informant. Mm. He just sees people beating up other people and jumps in and tries to help and ends up killing one of the cops.
Ah.
So the third episode is essentially a long courtroom drama of his trial.
Oh, how and is that?
What's up?
Is it compelling?
It is, actually. I think it's probably the best episode of the show thus far. Of this
of
new
the run
batch.
So far?
Yeah.
Huh. Like Law and Order, or is it...
Kind of.
Okay.
Because there's a debate. Originally, they don't want to bring the white tiger of it into it. They want to leave that out so as not to influence the jury one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, Matt ends up making it essentially the whole crux of his defense, saying, like, look, this guy saves people not for a living, but this is essentially his purpose. There's not a chance he would have jumped in and killed a cop just out of malice. You know,
right, and did he kill the cop sort of accidentally? Like, did the cop yes. fall in front of the subway or something?
That is exactly what happened.
Subways.
swung out too far, while grappling, and just fell onto the tracks. That's 100% it.
All right.
And there's also, they start introducing in this episode, there are a number of the cops that have Punisher skull tattoos on their necks. It's not directly ever called out, but you start getting like little insert shots of people adjusting their collars and you can see the tattoos.
Right. Like the Hydra arc in the movies.
Or like unfortunately the now real world misappropriation of the character.
Now
we have this whole problem of all these people fetishizing the Punisher that have no idea what the character is actually about.
Right. It's a classic. Yeah. Before I started reading comic books, I used to think that Captain America, because he was just sort of walking around with the flag, I was like, what is with this nozzle? And then I read some Captain America, a little Brubaker, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, he's a constitutional American. And he just happens to, he's the little guy, and he's protecting the little guy.
So you were talking earlier about Elektra and how you're not in an anti-hero space at the moment. I am, other than Daredevil, I am very much feeling the same way.
Right.
And I was also that teenager. I literally, like, I wore, when I was like 14, 15, when the 2004 Punisher movie came out, I would wear that shirt to school. I wore the skull shirt to school. Nobody knew what that meant at that point.
Right.
And I also thought like Superman was a dweeb, Captain America was like a Boy Scout. And now, like in the running up to this new Superman movie, like I need that movie to be so good right now because I think just the world just needs Superman now.
Right. We're just
need Superman. We need Captain America. We need the heroes like that. So I'm actually 100% with you on the anti-hero thing.
Right. Just someone who's a good person who then ends up with some superpowers and then uses their powers for good.
Exactly.
Just 1, 2, 3. It's not.
Kamala Khan is another great example of it. It's.
Yeah.
More of that, please.
Yes. Someone, and you know, the Captain Marvel movie was so good in just that, in the fact that they were all just they were just decent superheroes at work trying to, and just the adorableness of it was great. Yeah.
That movie works so well just on vibe alone for me. Like, yeah, I wasn't super attached to the plot of it, but I liked spending time with those characters. I liked spending time with those performers. It was a good time.
Yeah. I mean, there's 35, I don't know how many movies there are and how many TV shows. So if I were to go with like my top 10, it would be so hard, you know, because I got to pick from 45 different, you know, events. Essentially, here's a better chance going my least favorite, and I still liked them. How about that?
Yeah, I still think Iron Man 2 is probably my least favorite MCU project, and it's mostly fine.
I liked Iron Man 2. My least favorite is not a popular choice. It's Guardians. I think Guardians 3, Love and Thunder was another one that was hard for me. The last Thor one.
Love and Thunder coasted by for me, but it really seemed to divide people like my friends.
And yet any number of great scenes that I thoroughly enjoyed. And like you said, I do want to hang out with those people and I'm on board. So, exactly. Yeah. And I thought that the new Captain America with Sam Wilson, obviously, was really good. Like, I mean, I don't think it's my top 10, but it's easily up there in my top 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the second time I saw it. You know, that shot of Harrison Ford without his shirt on as an 82-year-old man was only about 4 seconds, but it got burned into my retinas. And I was like, okay. And I think, I don't know if that was his choice, but I hope it was. He was like, yeah, you should know what old people look like. It's okay.
Yeah. And now, Thunderbolts in a couple of months and Fantastic Four, which is the one I have higher hopes for. Like Superman, I think that could be the movie we could use right now. So,
And here's the thing about the Thunderbolts. We're going to digress, but the thing about the Thunderbolts that I'm psyched about is that none of them, they were all put into weird situations. Ghost, White Widow, even Red Guardian, and what's his name is a psychopath, but U.S. agent.
Yes.
And then they're led by Bucky, who was also put they're all flawed heroes. I don't think that they're anti-heroes. I think I could agree. Yeah. Cause I think that like, I read the Thunderbolts. I wish I could tell you, and some of those like Taskmaster, in the comic books, cause I think Taskmaster is in the movie but the Taskmaster from Black Widow.
Yeah.
But Taskmaster from the comic books was actually a mercenary.
He's stone cold evil in the.
He's stone cold bad guy, and he is only made good when he's hanging out with Daredevil.
He's evil for the fun of it, evil. So
right,
yeah,
right, yeah.
I'm curious about how that'll all play out. I mean, I'm there regardless. At this point, I'm in for a penny and for a pound. You know, I'm gonna see it.
It's exactly. I wanted to see. Some of the, you know, who would have been fun? I am sad about the Doctor Strange, multiverse version of the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
I would have loved that Fantastic Four, but this Fantastic Four might be great. What do I know?
You never know, because, I mean, they announced that Patrick Stewart is Professor X in Avengers Doomsday again, so maybe they'll find a way to still work them in again. We don't know.
Right. Right. And I saw Black Bolt was on that Illuminati. And I was like, I would like, even though, of course, and I think it was Steve Mandel, previous guest of the Dork Forest, asking why Black Bolt doesn't just get a whiteboard. Why does it have to go through Medusa?
You know what? There may be something there.
Right. I mean,
that was just nice. Him being there was just nice because it made up for a little bit that brief Inhumans show that nobody ever remembers was even on.
You know, I'll tell you what else I watched on the plane the other day was The Eternals, which is much better on the rewatch.
Is it?
Yeah.
I should probably give it another shot.
Yeah. It's actually, I think it was so weird. Because there had been so many straightforward kind of like, even though they've gone deep into the long boxes for some of these characters, the Eternals, you're going deep, deep into the long boxes. And so I think it was a different thing.
The scene I remember most from that movie is him standing in the ruins of Hiroshima, lamenting the weapon that he had allowed them to create. If there had been more of that, I would have been on board. But yeah, I should probably give that one another shot. There's also the problem of like, they want these movies to work ostensibly so they can bring them back into the comics. Like they've been leaning on bringing the Eternals back hard in the books the last couple of years.
Yeah. There's just such a, like you've got the Inhumans and you have mutants and you have Eternals. And then the Guardians have like introduced the Celestials. And then there's who was Jeff Goldblum? What kind of character?
The Collector.
The Collector. But the Collector is one.
The Collector, but
right, he was the other one. But they are a different. They might be celestial. I don't know what they are, but they're another godlike character. And then there's the Gold People with Adam Warlock that came Remember Adam Warlock and the Guardians?
I do. Yeah. And I actually liked Guardians 3. He was kind of the one bum note. And even James Gunn has now said he was just like, I kind of wrote myself into a corner in introducing that character. And then turns out he didn't really fit into what else I wanted to do, but I had to use him.
Yeah, it dissolved. And I was just like, that was a waste of that character. Feel free to reintroduce that. I mean, the good news about the Eternals and about a guy like Adam Warlock is that they can make another version because that's a synthoid, right?
And they'll be around. You know, they can pull them back in whenever. So.
Sure. Anyway, so back to Daredevil. And
back to Earth.
Back to Earth. Hell's Kitchen, 10 blocks of madness in Manhattan. So there's the really good, like literally a courtroom episode that was you think was one of your favorite episodes.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
It really has been that ground level. I mean, like I said, he's not in the suit again until episode 6. So it's been a lot of Matt Murdock.
And the White Tiger.
In the legal system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, because at the end of so he exonerates White Tiger within that episode, and they have the triumphant moment of, yeah, everything's great. And he goes home, puts on the costume, and gets ready to resume his life, and then is killed immediately. Like, he steps out of his front door, is shot, and then the episode ends.
White Tiger is shot?
Yeah. Which is doubly kind of painful, because it turns out the actor has actually since passed away in real life. So it just made the scene that much harder to watch.
Oh,
like they have to go from that to a memorial card, and it's like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God.
But so, and he's shot.
And did Bullseye kill him?
A bullet that has the Punisher's skull etched into it.
But now you're back. Okay.
Oh, I think you might have froze, or I froze.
You're back. It's in the middle. I'm gonna make a note of the time code. Maybe Patrick can clean this up. I think we know we can. Okay. So, okay. So White Tiger's killed, but then the actor dies is super sad.
Yeah. It's not great. And obviously there was no way they could have planned for it, but it just made for an emotional 1-2 that was not fun.
Do you know how the actor passed away?
I don't. I wish I did, but
yeah. That is, cause did the writing come after the,
I don't think the impression I got from pieces I read afterwards was that they had no idea it was going to, whatever it was either sudden or well hidden.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. So the White Tiger dies. What is Daredevil? Let's just go back to I'm very sorry for his family, but let's go back to the fiction, shall we? Okay.
So he's shot and Matt discovers the bullet and the Punisher's skull is etched into it.
The cops did it. Bad guy cops. Yeah.
There's a brief scene. Again, they announced in advance that John Bernthal was going to be back as the Punisher. He's in one fairly brief scene where he and Matt are kind of debating the ethics. Matt essentially calls him out for hiding from this larger issue surrounding his skull. And then Frank turns around and says, where have you been? You know, it's not like you're helping anybody.
Oh, right, right. So wait a minute. So the Punisher, is that the Punisher from the movie? The old movie?
No, from the show. From the Netflix version.
Which I never saw that. I read a Punisher arc.
Oh, that's right. You said you only watched the first season.
Yeah.
So the second season, the very first episode of the second season starts the Punisher. And he's played by John Bernthal, who you said you have some familiarity with The Walking Dead, right?
I read it. I've never watched
it. He played, I forget what the name of Rick's friend was. He played the friend who, when Rick comes back to life, is in a relationship with Rick's wife and kind of is thrown off by him even being there.
Yeah. That's awkward. Yes.
Yeah. So the actor's name is John Bernthal. He actually was so good at playing the character in Daredevil that it so put me off that the one MCU related thing that I've never seen is the Punisher solo show. Haven't watched it. Don't plan to. It's
okay. Yeah, because he's really good at it.
He sells essentially the Punisher being a mass shooter so well that it was like, why would I want to spend any more time with that character? I get right. that his circumstances were tragic, but that doesn't mean I support who he is now. You know,
right. That's get some help. Maybe Heather's available. So
yeah,
it's seems fascinated by vigilantes. But I will say this, the one Punisher arc that I think Andy found for me, because I was like, the hell's with this guy? And he's like, well, read this. And then he handed me a stack of floppies. And we've never read I don't think Andy's into it. So and I wasn't, so I've never encouraged it, but it was sort of an origin story of the Punisher was a Vietnam vet.
Oh, did he give you Bourne?
I think maybe.
Yeah.
And he was a Vietnam vet and he made a deal with a demon.
I can't remember. It's been a very long time since I read Bourne. Garth Ennis. That was in Garth Ennis's era with the Welcome Back, Frank. Okay. So it probably was Bourne then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, and I love Garth Ennis is amazing, but I will say that, I didn't like it. I was like, okay, well, it's not enough. Like, cause you can't know if you're always killing the bad guy. And his sense of, you know, sort of like Ghost Rider. Did you ever see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Not that far into it.
Oh, we watched the whole thing. We must own the DVDs. I think we have the DVDs through, same with Peggy Carter.
I have seen all of Agent Carter. That was really good. I guess I should say that. So there's two MCU things, which is everything after. I think I made it as far as the Winter Soldier reveal that everybody was Hydra with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then fell off shortly after that.
Well, there was a season at least, and maybe two, where they did a thing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that was almost exactly like comic book arcs, where it would be like three episodes and it was a comic book arc.
Yeah.
And they introduced Ghost Rider into the plot.
I've seen clips of his, like, I don't have any context for them, but I watched clips enough just to see how they handled the effects.
Was amazing.
I've heard, yeah.
He was outstanding, and I would love that. I would love him to come back.
That's another character that they keep trying to work him in all these places, and for whatever reason, it doesn't ever seem to stick, which is too bad.
He had a car instead of a motorcycle.
Well, I mean, if nothing else, as a visual, he's amazing. You know,
Yeah, there's amazing CGI going on with this young Latino kid who is protecting his family, man. And
Andy will probably end up with a hold of it at one point, but I guess they did just put out another Hot Wheel of his car. I saw it at the store the other day.
I think he's got it.
Yeah.
He's got every character car that Hot Wheels ever made. And then they said, you know, these 50-year-old men are going to die. We're not going to do it anymore. And Andy's like, we're not dead yet. I would like another $5 Hot Wheel. Because, you know, regular Hot Wheels went up from 99 cents to $1.29. How do they do it? Well, I think we all know. Slave labor.
I have to check the racks because I think there's going to be or is new Jurassic Park cars. And I just want the little Jeep. But every time I pass by it, it's just like, well, I bet Andy has all of these.
he doesn't. I like to buy the Jurassic Park, their trucks that are dinosaurs, right? Obviously.
Yes. And, yeah, I've seen those.
They're amazing for toddlers. Toddlers are like, because they both love dinosaurs and trucks. So it is, it's a real hit.
Yeah.
So I did just buy this graphic novel. I don't know if it'll show up. Detective Beans. It is The Case of the Missing Hat. It's about a kitten who really wants to be a detective. And I believe she loses her hat. So I think there's a 6-year-old who is going to discover manga next year who might enjoy that. I just have to find the 6-year-old. Augie Smith, maybe. He's got kids. Anyway, Jonathan, I've weeded off episode 6 and 7 and 8. I don't know.
There's one element of the show that I want to make sure to address. So after the Punisher talks to him, there's kind of a couple more episodes. We haven't talked a whole lot about the Kingpin's end of things, but it's just, it's kind of, it's the slow descent into evil. And him and him and Vanessa are on the outs, which is why they end up with Heather doing therapy. Right. And so his darkness, like he has the person who Vanessa had an affair with in a basement, locked in a dungeon, basically.
Oh, God.
But there's one character I want to make sure to mention that I haven't as of yet, which is, you've read far enough that, do you remember Muse? He was a serial killer who had kind of black, like tears coming out of his eyes.
I think so. He was like a goth psychopath.
Yes. Yeah. When Charles Soule took over the book from Mark Waid, and he called it Back to Black.
That's so it.
Daredevil was in his black Shadowland suit again. Muse was the villain, and he's kind of, Daredevil doesn't have a super wide rogues gallery, unfortunately. He has the Kingpin, he has Bullseye, he has the Hand, who, to be fair, are enough villains for, you know, any number of heroes.
Right, right.
But other than that, he has the Purple Man was either originally one of his or has been in the book.
Yes.
He has the Owl and Gladiator, but it falls off pretty quick after that. So Muse was kind of the latest attempt to give him a villain and the last one to actually stick.
Right.
So he's kind of in the shadows throughout the kind of the middle section of the show.
Okay.
He's leaving, like, he's clearly a tortured artist. He's leaving tags throughout town, and people investigating the tags are kind of how he ends up grabbing victims.
Right. That's right. That was from the comic.
Yeah.
There's
this character, it's White Tiger's niece, who kind of ends up glomming onto Matt because she knows, like, with her uncle gone, he's kind of the last good person in her life. So she ends up following him pretty closely, and Muse takes her, which is the impetus for Matt to finally put the costume back on.
There we go.
So all he fights with Muse, and then Muse turns out to be a patient of Heather's and is dispatched almost immediately after that. The show blows through stories so fast. Most of my TV, I like to do my TV watching usually in the morning while I'm getting ready for my day.
Yeah.
And it feels like an odd complaint that, like, oh, I have to pay attention. But there have been so many times this season where I have to sit down and rewind and be like, okay, how much just happened in those last 2 minutes where I wasn't fully on board?
Right, right. That's amazing.
I had this problem with Andor, which is about to come back, all the time too, where I just end up sitting down and be like, well, I'm accomplishing nothing this morning.
No, you have to watch Andor.
Yeah.
Star Wars Andor was literally proof that Star Wars could be done for adults and could be amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. And I'm so sad. I'm glad we get one more season, but I'm so sad that that's going to be it. Like, it's that they can run that show forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause, it's the sweet spot between the first two movies.
Yep.
And that guy, I mean, I wanted him to get off of, how did he not get off of the planet when he got the
And you talked about the mini arcs that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did, that Andor did that really well too, where, like, every three episodes
they
would kind of do a hard reset, and then
Like the first one was like a heist movie, and then there was a jailbreak movie, and then the last one was some sort of in whatever order, each three episodes was a full on movie. It was an arc of like, there was a spy thing, there was a heist, there was a train robbery, there was a jailbreak. All of these things were amazing. So I actually can't wait till that comes out again. So.
Yep, just one more week.
Oh, is it next week?
Yeah, roughly. It's the 22nd, so I guess 9 more days. But
holy smokes. Okay. Yeah, Andy wants to watch Echo before he watches Daredevil. Is that important?
I think it would explain where Kingpin's at the start of it. Like I said, there was some fuzziness for me, so I think watching Echo would clear that up. I think that's probably a pretty good idea.
All right.
So
noted.
At the end, so where we stand now is in the 8th episode, Bullseye breaks out, and he kind of half realizes, classically, he knows that the Kingpin has used him, but
to become mayor.
Yeah, well, no, and he arrives at the correct point, but by the insane way.
Okay.
Because it's Bullseye. So he shows up at this big gala. He's going to shoot he's going to shoot Vanessa because she was technically the kingpin when he killed Foggy. He's going to shoot Vanessa, and Matt, who just cannot not do the right thing, throws himself in front of the bullet.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that's where we've left it. Literally, like there's a red filter on the camera, and the voices are all distorted. So Matt's near death, and we have one more episode to find out how he goes from there. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to end happily for him. I think he'll be alive.
Right.
But in the set photos for the second season, he's in that black suit again, the shadow. Okay. And when he's in that suit, we haven't really talked about the Daredevil's basic costume can vary quite a bit. And when he's in that black suit, usually portends bad things. And I just think it's going to be like, I think he's going to lose his humanity enough that he goes off the deep end a little bit.
Well, remember when he went to hell? And he actually went to hell and came back as his brother or something. And
we didn't get to Mike Murdock. That's a fun little bizarre end of the comic book universe. But
it really is. What you should know is that Bullseye was just in an arc that I just read of Spider Boy, which is a new character that. Who created the Spider Boy? Why? Was it Slott?
I think it may have been Slott. I was about to say, I know we've already said it a couple of times, but I think it may have been Slott.
Dan Slott. And so Spider-Boy and Daredevil fight for the power over some dragon. They're in some sort of tournament. And it's Daredevil and Spider-Boy against Bullseye and some little spider girl. And so that arc just ended. So it'll probably be collected soon, but the Dan Slott Daredevil Spider Boy team up, well worth the read, just so everybody knows. And
there's been a fair bit of spider business that I haven't, I haven't paid enough attention to. I only read the main Amazing Spider-Man book, but there's been a lot of asterisks noting like, you should read this other thing. It's like, okay, clearly I'm not doing enough.
Right
on this end of the spectrum.
And crossovers are not fair. I don't have an unlimited budget.
That's the nice thing about Daredevil is he usually keeps to himself. He's not in the bigger world as he just had the big Devil's Reign event where Kingpin's mayorship kind of fell. But even that was the street level hero, like the New York heroes.
Yep, for sure. Jonathan Anderson, thank you so much for being on the program. It's been an hour. Now we're all going to watch it and find out if you're right.
Yes.
And, it's a good guess that it's going to go dark.
Yeah. Obviously I hope I'm wrong, but it doesn't.
He's better when he's working with kids and with, kind of funnier, like if you would introduce Squirrel Girl into the plot, Mike, Matt Murdock would be just a happy-go-lucky guy.
That would be an awesome end of the because he works well in his one cameo in Spider-Man and No Way Home. He clearly gets along with this universe's version of Peter.
Right, he gets along with Peter. He gets along with Kamala Khan. He gets along with Spider-Boy.
It's one of his many similarities to Batman. He needs those sides. He needs his family around him. He needs other people to pull him back from the edge. And I think this version of the show, unfortunately, it's just none of these characters are doing enough to keep him there. So
right. So maybe they'll loosen him up a little bit. Maybe he'll get to meet Hawkeye next. And it's sad that there's no new Hawkeye because that would have been amazing too.
Yeah, although she's still floating around. We saw her at the end of the Marvels, so like there is some kind of future. We just don't know what kind of future it's going to be yet.
Right. They left that open-ended, which is cool. All right. It has been an hour. You, much like myself, could talk about Marvels forever. Let us wrap it up, though. And let me tell people that it's at Jake Spear 88. And Jonathan Anderson, thank you for doing the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really was worried about filling the hour, but man, we could have gone on for days.
We could have. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?